Thank you.
Amen. Never been this homesick before.
Right.
Amen. The longer I live, the more homesick I get.
Amen.
The more people I see go to that place, the more I want to follow behind.
Amen.
The more I want to go with them. That song says, "See the bright light shine, it's just about home time." And I look and see all the signs going on today. I look and see everything, how everything's just coming together and lining up. And I know we was talking about that earlier today, John, and some of us, and some old preacher buddies was talking about how people say, "Well, I've heard that all my life. I've heard that all my life." Amen. That's right. That's the Bible says it'd be scoffers in the last days. And 2 Peter talks about how people are ignorant of the flood and how in the world there was water in and out and these different things that's going on. But I tell you, I know I've heard it most of my life as well. But I tell you what, the way we see things lining up today and the way we see the governments trying to come together and do all these peace treaties and everything. And amen, I think it is just about home time. Amen. It's just about time to go home. We've been singing a lot of homecomings lately. Amen. And they have a good dinner a lot of times. And we have some time. It's a time for people to get together that maybe used to go to those churches and be able to celebrate that time together. And we have family reunions that are kind of similar. But I'm glad that one day after a while there'll be a family reunion. Amen. We don't have to say goodbye and go to each other's house, not see each other again for so many years. Amen. We'll be in heaven together. Amen. Those that are born again put their trust and their faith in Jesus Christ and the blood bought salvation, amen. We'll be able to never have to separate anymore, amen. Never have to be a part, amen, of this old world again. Don't have to worry about the devil being able to get to us. Amen. A preacher preached this morning on heaven and hell. Amen. Talked about how the devil troubles us down here, amen. And one of these days we'll never have to worry about him ever again. Amen. I'm looking forward to that day. Amen. I'd like to have a front row seat, amen, when he's pitched off into the lake of fire myself. Not have to worry anymore about what the things that he does here on this earth. Amen. Be able to serve the Lord. Amen. Without any hindrance. Amen. Y'all pray for me this evening. I've been wrestling with a message for about 3 weeks now. And I'll just go ahead and preface this message with this statement. I don't know everything.
Amen.
Amen. I'm still studying this thing out. Amen. And if you got any questions after the service about where I found this or where I found that in the Bible, come and ask me about it, because I've got about a dozen places that I could go to that I've been studying on. And it's really just, I've just had some good times and good study time with the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. I've been reading about this. But I'll tell you what, on the way down here, Melissa can tell you, we was after service today, I've been wrestling with this, and we went to a coffee shop and kind of sat and spent a little bit of time in there. I took my Bible inside and started reading a little bit. Couldn't really get a thought, couldn't really get anything to pinpoint on this. Amen. And she didn't know it, but I was going down the road, amen, just driving just to myself and thinking about this. Amen. As I got to driving, got to thinking about it, pondering on it, the Lord gave me a thought.
Amen.
And I tell you what, about shouted right then. Amen. Because I've been waiting on it. Amen. I'm glad the Lord is faithful, folks.
Amen.
Those that put their trust in Him.
Yeah.
Amen. He'll always show up. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Put your faith in the Lord.
Amen.
He can't let you down.
Amen.
I'm glad today for that.
Amen.
Amen. But I just tell you what, I just do the best I can tonight. Amen. This has been, to tell him a while ago, it's been about the first time I preached in about a month or a month and a half. We've been singing so much. I ain't been able to go to the church that we've been going to for the longest year lately. And I know Brother Robbie, amen, down there has been getting tired. He's been preaching himself to death probably. So I've been already on my mind thinking about preaching for him next Sunday when we finally get a chance to go down there. And lo and behold, he calls me this morning and asked me, "Brother Eric, do you want to preach?" I said, "Yeah, brother, I kind of been expecting that. You need a release pitcher every now and then, and you about your arm's about sore, ain't it?" He said, "Yes." But I tell you what, I don't really know where to tell you to go. Amen. In the Bible, there's so many different places, but I'd like for you to follow me, if you will. We'll just go to Romans chapter 3. Amen. Got a lot of places to think about, and I might not read them all. I'll do the best to quote them as much as I can. Amen. But I tell you what, the thought I want you to know today that the Lord gave me, and I just about shouted about down the road, amen, was how are we to serve God?
Amen.
How, as Christians, can we best serve the Lord?
Amen.
There's your title tonight.
Amen.
Now go with me to Romans chapter 3. Amen. I'm just going to start reading at the very first verse. We'll see about how far we get. Amen. But it says, "What advantage then hath the Jew Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and that thou mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto this his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. A-double-L, all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is in their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction, misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now pay close attention to this next part. Now we know that whatsoever things soever the law saith, it saith unto them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Amen. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without, you might want to underline that word, without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yea, yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. You may be seated. Now in my reading here, I was reading actually, if you go through Romans chapter 3, maybe even starting at chapter 1, I never made it back that far. I started reading in chapter 3, and I went all the way to about chapter 10. You'll find that Paul begins to talk about the law of God and how we live today and are justified by faith. I've never really understood that, never really seen it, but he emphasizes that, and just about everything in those verses talk about how the law, amen, could not do. It was weak. It could not save from sin. Amen. But it was pointing to Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, the law, today, by serving the law, that doesn't make you in any better standing with the Lord. Amen. Because it's not the law, amen, that is going to get you to heaven. It's the blood of Christ. Amen. When the death angel came through the city of Egypt, country of Egypt, if you want to call it. Amen. That God was not looking for the law on the doorpost of the door. I want you to notice that. He was not looking for the Ten Commandments on the doorpost of the door. He wasn't looking for any kind of ordinance. All he was looking for was the blood of a spotless lamb. Thank God today. Amen. I don't have to look back. to the law. To get ahead in life. I don't have to look back. Amen. All I got to do is look forward. You think about Paul when he said, forgetting those things which are behind. He was talking about the law. Amen. You study that up. And when I begin to realize how much he had to say about that, I begin to see verses I've read all my life in a whole new light. You know what it says there? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I didn't realize this until I just now read it. There's another place we may get to here in a little bit. I may quote it now. I don't know. But it talks about the glory of the law and the glory of faith. And there's two different kinds of glory. The glory based on the context of this. He's saying all have sinned and fallen short of the law of God.
Amen.
The law. Everybody. He's concluded them all in unbelief. That might he might by all means save some. Colossians tells us that. Hey, but I'm going to go ahead and turn there so I can get that right. Amen. Galatians. Over here in Galatians it talks about. I believe it's the Galatians I'm thinking of. Just give me a second. I got a lot of places that I've got written down here. No, it's 2 Corinthians. We may get to Galatians here in a minute. Because that's important too. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now that glory, I believe, talks about the law. Everybody has, at one point in time or another, transgressed the law of God.
Amen.
Amen. There's another place, I can't remember, it's probably in Romans there what I was reading. But it talks about everybody's under the curse of sin, even those who didn't sin after the similitude of Adam's transgression.
Amen.
Amen. That puts all in sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Let's go down here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and starting at verse 7. Now I want you to notice he's talking about death. He's talking about life. He's talking about death and he's talking about the Spirit. You see, the law was unto death. Amen. It revealed sin. The wages of sin or the price of sin is death. The law was a law unto bondage and death and destruction because it... Nobody that was able to approach there could live it.
Right.
And it says in verse 7 here, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, but if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, that's the Ten Commandments, that's the law, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, the law, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit rather be glorious? Paul is comparing two separate things. He says, well, if the law which was leading unto death was glorious back then, how much more is the Spirit or life in Christ more glorious today? He does this several times. Let's continue reading. Verse 9. For if the administration of the condemnation, that's the law, be glory, how much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory? For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. Amen. The glory of the Spirit of the new covenant excels over the glory of the law.
Amen.
For if that which was done away, the law, was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Amen. Seeing then that we have such hope, Christ is our hope.
Amen.
Amen. We can't get to heaven by the law. There's no hope for somebody trying to get to heaven by the law because Christ is the only one that could do it. Amen.
Amen.
He's the only one that was sinless and able to do it. Seeing then when we have such hope, that hope is in Christ, we use great plainness of speech and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look unto the end of that which is abolished.
Right.
They couldn't get past the law. They couldn't see past that. That's what that veil and that glory represented. That glory represented Christ, who the law was pointing to.
Amen.
But that their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil taken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, that's talking about the heart, when the heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away.
Right.
Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Yes.
From what? From the bondage of the law. The Spirit is what sets free. Amen. It's the Spirit, amen, that gives you liberty. But we all, now a lot of people find this hard to understand, but amen, the more you read and the more things come together, it makes a lot more sense. It says, but we all, everybody, Jews and Greeks alike, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, that's the law. The law is like a mirror reflecting to us our sin. It reveals our sin. I had not known sin except by the law.
Right.
It's like a mirror, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. We see the holiness in the Lord when we read the Ten Commandments. We are changed into the same image from glory to glory, from the glory of the law to the glory of Christ, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. How are we as Christians supposed to serve the Lord today? Amen. That was my thought. How are we to best serve the Lord as Christians?
Yeah.
It is only by the Spirit of the Lord, amen, that we can serve the Lord as He would have us to. Amen. We can't serve the Lord by trying to do works, by trying to be the best we can be, by trying to get ourselves into heaven upon works. Bible talks about there's no one that can boast of their own works because we're saved by grace through faith. Amen. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So we're not saved by the law. Amen. We're saved by grace. And the Holy Spirit is what helps us to serve the Lord today. Amen. Because He is involved directly with the heart.
Amen.
Let's talk about the heart for a minute. In Hebrews chapter 10, I think he's quoting Jeremiah. The writer talks about how in the last days, amen, and when things come to pass, the new covenant, I'll put a new covenant, a new law in their hearts.
Amen.
Paul, you may read this here a little bit, but Paul talks about your epistles known and read of all men, and the law of God is written in your heart. Amen. Jesus, when there was a man, I think it was a lawyer, began to ask him, he said, what's the greatest commandment? Well, Jesus, he probably didn't have to think too much. I don't know if he was one of those kind of people that like to be dramatizing just a little bit. Just let him sit there and just wriggle a little bit.
Amen.
But he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and spirit.
Amen.
And he said, the second is likened to the first.
Amen.
He said, love thy neighbor as thyself.
Amen.
Upon these two hang all the law of the prophets.
Amen.
You see, in Colossians, I think it's chapter 2, he talks about the written ordinances.
Yes.
He said he took it and nailed it to his cross.
Yes.
It hanged there on a tree.
Right.
Bible says, whosoever hangeth on a tree is cursed. The law had cursed mankind because of the judgments thereof. Nobody was able to live up to it. So Jesus became a curse. He was the one that paid the sin debt who didn't even have any sin. He made him to be sin who knew no sin that we might be made the righteousness of Christ in God. But anyway, he asked him, there's another man, a rich young ruler. He said, Lord, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Talking about the heart. He said, well, keep the commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord, or thou shalt serve any other gods before me, and thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt not kill, all these commandments he listed. And the man piped up, he said, well, Lord, I've done all these things. Well, right there, he was lying. Because nobody can do it. But you know what? You can keep all the law you want to. You know what Jesus said? Even if he kept all the law, he still lacked one thing.
Amen.
He lacked the law in here.
Yes.
He lacked the Spirit of God.
Right.
He told him, go sell all you have and get to the poor. It was a condition of the heart.
Amen.
It wasn't that he expected him to go out and sell everything he had. He didn't expect us to do that. He wanted to see if he had it in his heart to serve God.
Right.
Not in the ordinances that are written. Amen. You do things just because they're written and just because you're supposed to do them. That don't mean you love God. But if you do it out of the kindness and willingness of your heart, that's the kind of people that God wants.
Amen.
Because it's free will then. It's instigated by you.
Yes.
It's not because God told you to do something that you had to do it. Many people also in the Bible, in the New Testament, amen, he's talking about how You know, the commandment says you're not supposed to kill anybody. But Jesus took it a little further. He said, well, you've spoken well, but if you hate your brother, you've done murder.
Yes.
You've heard it said that the law said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But he took it further. In the heart. He said even, if you look at your woman and lust in your heart, I believe that's the way he says
yes.
it, you commit adultery.
Amen.
So it's not the keeping of commandments,
amen,
that gets you saved. It's not the keeping of the commandments. You can display them all you want to in your house. I mean, they're displayed in churches. I don't have anything against that. But a lot of times it seems like the Christian world today is stuck on what the Jews had the problems with all along in the New Testament. We're stuck on looking back and trying to serve the Lord the way the Old Testament people did. When Christ has come and all that was pointing to Christ. That's who we serve. That's who has made us whole and made us accepted
yes.
in the blood. Now we'll go to Galatians. Over here it says, talking about the law again, Galatians chapter 4. Let's start at verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But as under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world.
Yes.
But when the fullness of the time was come, notice that. That's very important. The law was for a time, and when that became fulfilled, when that fullness had developed, God sent forth His Son,
yes.
made of a woman, made under the law. She was under the curse of the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. So that tells me I couldn't receive the adoption of son under the law. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts.
Yes.
Crying, Abba, Father. Now because the Spirit dwells every believer, we now can call God our Father. We are in the family. Let's go down here. It says in verse 19, my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise.
Yes.
You'll find that word a lot in Galatians, promise. He's talking about Isaac and the promise of Abraham. Verse 24, which things are an allegory. Very important. An allegory is something that is a type of something else or something that was ushering in a greater revelation. The law was an allegory. The bondage of Hagar and Ishmael was an allegory of the law on the spirit of the believer.
Yes.
It says they're an allegory for these are the two covenants, the Old Testament and the New Testament. One from Mount Sinai, the old, that's the law, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, and break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise.
Yes.
But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Let's look at the next verse in chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Yeah.
God has freed us, Christ has freed us from the bondage of the law and of serving the law and the ordinances and the old things. Amen. So he says, stand fast in that liberty. God made you free. You're free indeed.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm not a slave to the law. I'm glad grace came. Amen. And took my place. Amen. And suffered all those horrible things that I would have suffered and not been able to pay because I don't have, amen, I don't have heaven to give.
Right.
Jesus did. Jesus paid it all.
That's right, brother.
He paid it all. If you'll read back in a few verses before I started there in Galatians chapter 3, he talks about the law. Why does it serve? What's the law for? It's a schoolmaster.
Yes.
To get us appointed unto Christ.
Right.
He said in Galatians 3:19, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. The promise now is talking about the promise of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
When Christ went out in this world, he said, wait for me in Jerusalem and you'll be endowed with the promise of the Father.
Look at Job.
He's talking about the promise of the Holy Ghost. The law was in place until the New Testament church was formed. Because that's the seed of the promise, the seed of Isaac, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. He begins to talk about the law being a schoolmaster and all these other things. Now, the law does serve its place. Amen. He says later on, and I don't remember exactly where it is. Like I said, I'd have to look it up. But he talks about, it says the righteous are not under the law. The law is not for the righteous.
Right.
The law is for murderers, adulterers, whoremongers,
yeah.
All these people, amen, that are sinners and, amen, need to be revealed their sin. There's a verse in the Bible in Psalms that says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You know who needs the law? Sinners need the law.
Amen.
They need to know where they stand with God.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. That the law is there to judge them as unrighteous, and any man is unrighteous before God.
Amen.
Then they can realize. Then the impact of Jesus can be much greater than it is today. Amen. When you take the law and you pair it with Christ, amen, it's a whole unified thing. Because then when they see their sin and they see how ugly it is and how just abominable it is in the face of God and the all just God, they can see just how much Jesus paid and how much he took upon himself, amen, to fulfill that law, which you and I could not do. But the Bible says, talking about the Spirit again and following the Spirit of God, that's how we serve God. We listen to the Spirit. The Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord, that anointing which you've received, shall guide you into all truth. It's truth and it's no lie. We follow the God. We follow God with the Spirit of His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Who shows us how to please God. Not with ordinances, not with works, but with love. But according to the Bible, it says, well, the law is for the unrighteous, but it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, meekness, goodness, gentleness, kindness, faith. Against such, there is no law. If you follow the Spirit of God, there's no law. Amen. Against you. Because you'll naturally not want to sin. It'll cause you not to sin. It'll cause you to live according to God. Amen. As grace has given you to live. And you had no need of law which reveals sin. Why? Because the Spirit of God is there.
That's right.
And the fruits of God are there. And I'm glad today. Amen. For that wonderful promise. For what He gave us. Amen. The ability to follow Christ. So instead of looking back. The Bible says look unto Jesus. The author and finisher of our faith. Faith is a very important ingredient here. If you continue reading in Romans chapter 4, I didn't get to there, but he talks about Abraham. And he talks in Galatians, same chapter 3, I think, about Abraham who came before the law. 430 years, as a matter of fact. Before the law came, the covenant of God with Abraham was there. And the law which came 430 years after can't overrule that or disannul that. He can't make it of no effect. It came first. The law came because of transgression. I begin to think about this. Bible calls Jesus the second Adam. We know that Adam, when he came in this world, I believe Adam was innocent when he was created. He had no sin, but he fell into sin. He fell. And because of that, the curse was pronounced upon the world. Amen. But before the law came into effect, to kind of guide or round up, I don't know how you say it, shepherd or herd the sins of men, the law came to be kind of like a guidepost or a schoolmaster, like it says. Before the law came in, we have Adam. Here's the law. Before that, Abraham.
Abraham,
the covenant. Basically, grace. In Galatians, it says the gospel was preached unto Abraham. And that blew my mind when I first found that out. The gospel, the good news, was before preached to Abraham. But I want you to notice, Adam, law, Abraham. Christ, the second Adam. Also born in this world, innocent. The difference is, Christ didn't fall.
That's
right. Christ stayed innocent.
Yes.
What is the law? The law represents death, represents sin. Christ, death. Grace.
Amen.
Grace.
Nailed to the cross.
Sacrifice. Just like Abraham, just like Adam, the law came in and there was no hope. God made a way before that happened in Abraham. Christ came. Sting of death is sin. Amen. Before death could come, Christ suffered before us. Amen. All the death and all the misery we would ever have to suffer. Amen. And he made a way. Amen. Curtailing the strategy of the devil. Once again, rose from the dead. Amen. Conquered the cross. And once again, amen, overruled the devil.
Yes.
The devil thought he had everything figured out. But God is always one step. He's more than that, but he's always one step ahead of the enemy. He's one step ahead of the devil. And I'm glad that grace came, amen, and blocked the path of death and the sting of death, amen, for every born-again believer. But I want you to notice something. If you're still following the world today, amen, then you're bypassing grace and you're headed straight for death.
Amen. That's right.
That's
how it works. So I'm not knocking the Ten Commandments. I believe they're a good thing. Amen. But they're not for the righteous. The righteous are to look into the Spirit. The Spirit of God fills every believer. And we look into the whole Word of the Lord. Amen. For our guidance. Amen. Because the law tends unto bondage. If we see every day we can't measure up, then where's the faith in Christ? We're looking into something we can't do instead of something that Christ done. How can we have hope if we keep looking at our own sin, which God Himself has said He's washed away and cast in the sea of forgiveness?
Amen.
That's right.
That's by Christ.
Yes.
I appreciate your time and attention today. I feel like I've cleared my heart and that I've done the best I can to get this out in such a way that it doesn't seem like I'm blaspheming the law or anything like that. I hope I've made my point. Amen. That God and His Spirit, amen, is what leads us today.
Amen.
Amen. That we can use the law to convert those that are sinners. But after that, the Holy Ghost comes in.
Yes.
Thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. Which dwells inside and brings us to the Father. Amen. Thank you for your attention today. I ask Brother Wayne if he would come get a verse of a song. And if anybody has a need here today, amen, the altar is open. You're more than welcome to come. You know, he preached on heaven and hell today. And I got to thinking, you know, is it well with my soul? It is well with my soul. And a lot of people today, they'll sit on the pew and they say, well, I'm going to heaven. I'm glad I don't have to go to hell. Amen. But what about the loved ones? Amen. It's going to suffer. Amen. Because you haven't come and given supplication to God and said, Lord, save my family. I may be good. I may be all right in your sight, but I've got loved ones that are not. And they'll bust hell wide open one day if they don't come and give their heart to you and choose grace before death gets on their trail. As he sings,
page 381. He paid a debt he did not
owe. Yes, he did.
I owed a debt I
couldn't pay.
I needed someone to wash my sins away.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Good song.
Now